Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Indigenous cinema to take centre stage at Brisbane International Film Festival. Brisbane International Film Festival will return from 27 to 30 November, bringing more than 60 films to venues across the city as part of its revitalised 2025 program. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Maria Lewis, Indigenous Spotlight Curator. And we have Maria on the line. Good morning, sister. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, please, Maria.
I'm from Aotearoa, so I'm Kaptahu, South Island, Māori woman, and have been living in Australia for about the past 20 plus years. So my Kiwi accent is long gone.
And we claim you, my sister. Thank you very much. Look, a very powerful space, a platform. So we're talking about Indigenous cinema to take centre stage at Brisbane International Film Festival. Tell us, what can we expect? We're talking 60 films, which is fantastic. Just shed some light, please, if you could, Sister Maria.
Yeah, so there's 62-plus films that are playing at the Brisbane International Film Festival over the course of 4 days, from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But for me, what's really special, I programmed the Indigenous Spotlight at a section called Culti McPult. So cult section is like lots of genre films, zombie movies, horror movies, stuff like that. And the Indigenous Spotlight, what is so unique about it is that it's featuring First Nations films from all around the world. So that includes, obviously, like, films from right here in Australia by Aboriginal filmmakers, whether that's animated films like Imagine or horror film like It Will Find You, which is a real absolute banger from Chris Broadbent and Enzo Tedeschi, but also First Nation Canadian films. So from Native American filmmakers like Ken Yedio Horn and Peter and Seth Scriver, and Māori films from Kathakatua Brown, and another film from Vince McGrashaw, which is a crime thriller set on a Native American reservation. So a real mix of stuff, but
fantastic.
I think all those films that really show you that, you know, whoever you are, wherever you are in the world, the Indigenous filmmaking lens is really unique and really powerful.
Really powerful, and in the sense of then you're talking some scary stuff there as well. I mean, I thought black fellas across the globe were scared of, like, the spiritual side of things, but here it is, front and centre.
I love action movies, I love animated movies, and I think sometimes when people think First Nations films, it often can be through this white lens of it's only trauma or it's only historical drama. And we have incredible stories to tell that are funny, that are scary, that are exciting, that are invigorating. Like, we can do rom-coms as well.
And here's the platform.
Really, like, yeah, exactly, exactly. And just being able to show people that First Nations filmmaking isn't one thing. It can literally be an animated odyssey like it is with Imagine, which is all these different animation styles as a young woman goes through this journey of, like, you know, consulting with her elders and going on this journey that so many teenagers do when they're finding their Indigenous identity. Or it can be something like Seeds, which is basically home alone with a body count set on a Native American reservation, you know?
Yes, yes. And when you look at this platform, look, it's an opportunity for, like, we are storytellers no matter where you travel on planet Earth. We First Nation people, we're storytellers and we tell our story, what have you. And it's a platform for bigger and better things, is it not?
Yeah, Taika Waititi, and when he won the Oscar for Jojo Rabbit in his acceptance speech, he dedicated the final part of it to Indigenous kids and Indigenous people as the original storytellers. And I think about that a lot because we are the original storytellers, and also the way we tell stories is so unique and so specific, and opening people up to that and giving them a platform to be able to participate as well. Like, it's great for the black fellas out there. It's great for our Pacific audience. But it's also great to get white folks along, get the allies along, get them watching these kind of stories and engaging in our art, whether that is something that is, you know, like genuinely horrifying. I love spooky stories, so things like The Mulgai and It Will Find You are really exciting to me, because Lord knows you guys have got it'll enough scary stories out there in the bush.
You call, it'll come.
Exactly. No whistling at night, right?
That's right. Now, sister, when you look at this, it's a fantastic opportunity as well in regarding the whole space. So we're talking about opportunities for lighting, for sound, front and center, on stage, off stage, whatever the case may be, yes?
Yeah, we also have a bunch of industry panels as well. So if there are, you know, young Indigenous filmmakers or anybody working in that space who wants to learn more about, you know, I want to get into this industry, how do I do it, who do I talk to, who are the connections that I need to make, there's panels going on all throughout the festival with different groupings of people. So whatever your interest is, if you want to talk to somebody who's younger and scrappy, you can find them. If you want to talk to a really seasoned veteran professional, somebody like Kathakatua Brown, the Māori filmmaker from New Zealand, whose film Kokua is this really beautiful sort of coming-of-age road trip movie. She's flying in all the way from New Zealand to come and chat to people. So there's lots of different opportunities out there for people to meet whoever they want to meet and build those connections and try and build their little filmmaking community, because that's the only way you can get films made, whether it's a short film or a feature, is you have to do it with other people. And so you've got to build that little team.
Yeah, beautiful. You've shared a beautiful picture. Thank you so very much, my sister. Listen, all the best, Maria, and we'll talk soon, eh?
Awesome. I hope we'll see you guys along it to Biff. I think it will be really exciting, and there are some really special films that I hope people enjoy.
Lovely. You take care, Maria. All the best, sis.
Thanks so much, Trevor. See ya.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Maria Lewis, her name is, Indigenous Spotlight Curator. Indigenous cinema takes centre stage at Brisbane International Film Festival. So this year includes a dedicated Indigenous Spotlight curated by Amari Kei Tahu, programmer Maria Lewis, who I just spoke to, who selected six films from Indigenous filmmakers worldwide. So look, a great space, so to speak. And then our mob can get inspired regarding that speech. So if you're up-and-coming filmmaker, look, a great opportunity, great platform to be at the table. We are students for life, so get educated and go a mile, see a mile. That's what it's all about. Have your say, Jan Upstrong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Came a stranger's hand, was a wild Kidachi man. I said, Governor, why don't you just leave me alone? Petrol.
didn't worry about the prickles in the sand when I was chased by Walker Dutchy Maine.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
Mara Sound Production.
When I was a young boy, I used to watch my old man.
Daddy, can you lend me to the song?
I speak wawa, you no forget my boy.
You lock them baduman, I say.
Song is called the German Mache.
Ina kizaka, misaka, maika, napaiki, wawurao, baruya. Kuba, sena, kairama, lata, tayanu. Ari, bai, bal, kubi, kubi, age, kagare. Inu, rata, maike. Kana pai ki vorao baruya, uba sena ke ramala da tayanu.
Chup 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 chup.
Aare bai bal kubi kubi age kagare. Inu rata maige.
Yeah, that's German March there, MSP. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And Yarn Up Strong here with your daily hosts. And that's Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, New Dingy Country. Going to catch up with Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trev. Yeah, I've been pretty exhausted with what I've been doing over. How are you, man?
I'm well, mate. Exhausted? Whatever.
We've been talking for a long time on the radio, eh?
A long time, brother. We go back a long way. Naam. That's a coffee shop on the Esplanade. Naam. Go ahead, brother.
We've been talking about 12 years, and I've been on here about 25 years, yes. Which amazes me when I think about it too sometime.
Time flies, brother, yes.
Listen, since Melbourne Cup, I've been going in and out of the cemetery and filming their clean-up.
All
our old people's graves have been demolished completely. The ground is scraped. It's heartbreaking, mate.
Mm.
It's just... There's no sign of our family left.
Yeah, bro, and I think we were chatting before regarding the space coming up to monsoonal season. They do a clean of the cemetery, so there isn't any missiles. But if there's stuff that's been taken, they can contact council in regarding retrieving.
Yeah, I here we come, and I've got to respect your work for the council, but I can say too, I just seen on the TV there the mayor there standing on the and all the decorations on it?
Yes.
Well, what's the difference between that and clearing the cemetery? Like, you know?
Yeah. Make a point, yep.
This is really well thought out. There's been beautiful graves. A grave, it's a sad place, but people try to make it nice. Beautiful flowers and things have all been stripped and taken away for that reason. And yet they can put flowers and trees on the esplanade. You know, it's them and us.
That's how you look at it, my friend?
That's how it is, Trev.
Yep, fair enough.
That's how it is. Where I'm on the end of all this. I'm really suffering. For four or five years in sorry time, my missus, her cross has been taken. Mine's been taken out, the pre-prepared one. The twin, this is the news I wanted to get out, the aluminium cross that was there has been taken out, which was a permanent one. We've never had a permanent. On the bottom of their clean-up sign, it says, crosses in good condition and properly secured will not be removed. Well, it was painted white and it was cemented in the ground and there was no permit required. It's just out of control.
So you're thinking one rule for one, different rule for another is what you're thinking.
Well, that's how it is, mate. There's no treaty. Who do we get in touch with? I've got the response here from Human Rights Commission. Unfortunately, the complaint does not illustrate the contravention under the Anti-Discrimination Act 1999. The allegation that council had previously relaxed the rules 9 years ago, that was to put in the nephew's aluminium cross, is not sufficient to illustrate the discrimination. Well, Human Rights doesn't know that they pulled it out of the ground now. They're crosses.
Yes.
Politics and religion, they should just leave them alone. Like they've cleared all the frames of it. Like they can take the cross out of the ground, but they're taking the frames, the white frames too. So it doesn't matter if there's a cross there or a rectangle there. It's still a grave and they should not touch it. People have bought that grave. It's their property. And then they turn around and say, you can't have this on it. It is a racket, mate. It's just a racket to get people to spend money on marble, to give them a monopoly, and all the masons, there's no people power. This is a do-it-yourself country. We can't put a post hole in a cross in the ground, but they've got red tape. So I'm sorry, I see the mayor standing by the Christmas. Cemetery and sit by our graves, and a lot of people, and we meet there too. And that's, but when you go there, you feel like your house has been invaded, you've been robbed, you know.
Yeah, that's how you take it on board.
Something's got to be done, Trev.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry that you do work for the council because every problem we've got is to do with the council.
Sure.
They're stealing the river. They're attacking us in the cemetery. The cowards. We can't do anything about it. And all we've got is this lifeline to the show. I could do my block and get cut off any time, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that because I have to communicate and let people know.
And you're communicating using this vehicle to do so, my friend. So, yep. Take on board what you're saying, brother. I hear you. Yes. And I'll do my own investigation as well regarding that. But it is...
One other thing. The time I've been going there every day, following the fella around, and I go there when it cools down, you know, it's been really hot. So I've got before and after. I've been making a film, mate. I've got hours and hours.
Filmmakers?
Hey?
We were just talking to filmmakers, but continue, yes?
Yeah, filmmakers. And one of the other first things that come on the show was about the funeral plan all collapsed. So there's even more reason now. And there's all these TV shows on the news where graves all over the country are being done. It's quite a big... All I can do is call you. This is my radio station now. Me sitting in this chair, talk to you, that's it.
Okay, my brother.
I don't go out much. I don't talk to people because I feel... I'm just trying to deal with the mentality of this whole situation, you know. And
you're utilising this platform, so, more power to you, my brother. And Happy to take your call. Thanks, Tony.
All right, thanks, Trev. That's enough for today. But the graves, there's so many lost graves now. People, our family can go there and they don't even know where the people are because there's about 12, 15 graves.
There's
no land rights, not even when you're gone, mate. This country is really sick and they're cursed what they're doing. They're cursed by the whole mob. We've had meetings down the river. And there's a crocodile on the loose down at Little Mulgrave too. I was talking to the family the other day.
Crocodile loose. Thank you. That's need to be checked out.
Some young fella. Yeah.
Tony Gibbs, thank you, my brother. You take care and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Bye. Yeah.
Tony Gibbs, have any say? Yarn Enough Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You can do the same by calling that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. You can text my brother as well, 045-714-0550. Don't forget our Facebook page, well, BBM987FM. Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Too deadly.
Struggling with the cost of living. Struggling with the cost of living. Struggling with the cost of living now. Waking up early, got a grind to survive. Two jobs, no sleep, just trying to stay alive. Bills stacking high, but the weight is on my chest. Every set to make, man, it's gone in a sec. First job at dawn, second one at night. No time for dreams, seeing no end in sight. Minimum wage, but the rent sky high. One missed payment and it's bye-bye. Living on the edge, praying for a break. Check to check, living, how much can I take? Groceries are ramped, the choice is so tough. In this economy, enough is never enough. Dreams feel distant and hopes are defined. But I keep pushing, I won't be left behind. Gotta stay strong, we'll keep my head held high. In this harsh world, we gotta reach for the sky. Struggling with the cost of living. Two jobs, no rest and no chilling. One missed payment and you're out on the street. Fighting every day just to make ends meet. Struggling with the cost of living. Two jobs, no rest and no chilling. One missed payment and you're out on the street. Fighting every day just to make ends meet. Clocking in, clocking out just to get by. Barely seen the kids, is it worth the decline? Working two shifts, can't afford the basics. Unemployment persuasive, life's so abrasive. Paycheck's gone before it hits my hand. Rent's overdue, think the landlord will understand. Prices rising high, but the pay stays low. Caught in the cycle, nowhere to go. Homelessness looming, it's a real fear. Miss one more payment, I might end up here. No safety net and no fallback plan. In this rat race, I'm just doing what I can, you know. I'm just doing what I can, and I'm just doing what I can. I'm just doing it all, so I can get by some more. Struggling with the cost of living. Two jobs, no rest and no chilling. One missed payment and you're out on the street. Fighting every day just to make ends meet. Struggling with the cost of living. Two jobs, no rest and no chilling. One missed payment and you're out on the street. Fighting every day just to make ends meet. Keeping faith through times being tough. In this hustle, I'm more than enough. With every step, I'll rise above. With every step, I'll rise above. Yeah, I'm here, listen close. Respect is earned, so hold it to the utmost. I, the God that transforms my life. So struggling times, I reach for the skies. Through it all, I try to breathe. Whatever strengths are taken from me. Takes a tribe, a community to raise the next village chief. Value is held within ourselves, not the cost that they want to sell. Blessed to be alive, I'm living well. A family man growing lives unfulfilled.
During the wet season, conditions can change quickly. Make a plan now to stay safe on country. If you can, stock up on essentials so you can stay home in bad weather. If you need to be on the road, take food, water and medicine and let someone know where you're going. Listen out for warnings and be prepared to wait it out in a safe place. Remember, if it's flooded, forget it. Search flooded, forget it for more information. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
Yeah, with social media and then with the floods, monsoonal season up here in far north Queensland, there's the statement, if it's flooded, forget it. We need to travel safe, be good, be careful, and think before we act. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trevor Murray from Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM as Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News, National News Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. Social media is subjecting black women to radicalised digital policing. Influencers use oppression, manipulation and weaponization to police black women on social media, according to new research uncovering the entrenched nature of digital racism. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Vimboy Matura, Charles Darwin University lecturer in enabling humanities. That's the conversation. We have Vimboy online. Vimboy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Vimboy?
In Darwin, Larrakia country.
Okay, lovely. Thank you very much. You have an accent there. Who are you mob? Where are you from, Vimboy?
Well, I was born in Zimbabwe, but I grew up in Canada and Germany, so it's a little bit of a mix where this accent comes from.
And you saw the light and come to Australia, the big island.
Yeah.
Here you are.
Yeah, I came about 16 years ago, and now Australia is my home.
There you go. Well, welcome, and we claim you, my sister. So we're talking about social media here, subjecting black women to radicalised digital policing. We live in the information world. We're talking about social media that is a platform for good things, but also bad things too, Vimboy.
Yes, 100%. You know, as much as we can get the good information and recipes and all of that, it is a cesspool of dangerous and harmful information as well.
So let's talk about that. When we're talking about influencers use oppression, manipulation, weaponization to police black women on social media, according to new research. So tell us about this space, please.
Well, I analyzed about 80 short-form videos from platforms like TikTok and YouTube Shorts, and I closely analyzed about 28 of them, and I found the same patterns over and over again, and much of the content aimed at black women was actually unsolicited advice that polices how black women should behave. So there were those four main themes that came up, which had an overarching air of policing black women's femininity, devaluing independence by promoting fear of being single, weaponizing racial and cultural identity, and framing abuse in relationships as just part of being a black woman and part of your duty to endure. Most of this unsolicited advice starts off by saying, as a woman, you should, or as a lady, you shouldn't. But it's not advice. It's harmful content.
Sure. And were you talking about attack on black women, or were you talking about also, adding to that, black women delivering that?
Yeah, some of the black women were also delivering that, but most of it is an attack. And I do understand that there are some black women who have internalized misogyny, or misogynoir, rather. So there were videos coming from black women that were extremely harmful, that garnered millions and millions of views and engagement as well.
Okay. So after finding out this information, so to speak, how do we police it? What do we need to do? If someone's been attacked at their social media, they can go to authorities, can they not?
Yeah, they can go to authorities if there's a direct attack or threat to you. But the thing is, with these algorithms, they reward outrage. So they're pushing content that's not directly sent to one particular person.
Okay.
So it's very difficult to police.
Yes.
But I think the real impact here is that things that happen online don't just stay online. You know, they go offline, and we see this with the data. We see this with incel culture and red pill culture, and how gender-based violence is now an endemic. And I think the deeper issue here as well is that the harmful messages that are being sent to Black women are not new. These are historical. You know, when we talk about harmful messages aimed at Black women today, it's important to understand that none of this exists in a vacuum. These tropes have deep historical roots. You know, during slavery and colonialism in Africa, in America, in Australia, Black women have been boxed into these roles of service, sacrifice, and endurance, and expected to be caretakers and laborers and uncomplaining backbone of everyone's comfort. And these stereotypes have never disappeared. They've evolved. And they're causing real harm to Black women.
So, Vimboy, you're talking about new vehicles. Here we are, social media, 21st century, information age. That's the vehicle now that's being used. But we're also talking about a case of defamation as well, are we not?
Yes, because, you know, this is a digital continuation of colonial narratives. You know, the defamation of putting Black women as the mammy or the negative connotations associated with being the strong Black woman or the impure Jezebel. And, you know, these will affect the minds of both Black and non-Black viewers on how to treat Black women when they're offline. And, you know, these were all invented to justify the exploitation and control of Black bodies. And today, the same ideas reappear as advice, quote-unquote, telling Black women to tolerate mistreatment and prioritize being desirable and submissive over, you know, education and career, or to stay silent about pain and accept suffering as markers of Black femininity.
And do we talk about how policing, that we as individuals can be a part of the policing by, I mean, it takes two people to argue, and you don't want to get into an argument, so to speak, but throwing water on the situation. We can do that to help phase out this way of communicating, yes?
Yeah, we can definitely do that. And we've seen, I've seen a lot of content creators, both coming from Black women and Black men, who have been making videos rejecting this type of information, supporting a real community building. And I think that that is really great, because with the stereotypes that come with Black women, they the amount of times that we get desensitized to our harm, or the amount of gender-based violence that are attacked to Black women, it also paints Black men as the same colonial attributes of being these violent, untrustworthy men, when that's not the truth. So the more we have men and women in those comment sections saying, this is rubbish, Black women shouldn't be treated like this, we go against that, we support our Black women, then it builds our community.
Lovely, beautiful. And I will say to all the women out there, girls can do anything, and that's Black girls as well. My sister Vimboy, thank you for the yarn. It's good to have this conversation, and knowing that the tools that we are using in the 21st century, and how we can all add to it in a positive light. But thank you for your yarn, Vimboy.
Thank you, brother.
You take care, sis. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Vimboy Amutiro, her name is, Charles Darwin University lecturer in enabling. We're talking humanities, social media, subjecting Black women to radicalised digital policing. And look at a glass water half full, half empty. Half full, we need to do our bit as well. Stamp it out, chuck and fire on it, and love and respect everybody out there, especially our women, especially our Black women. But it is a team effort, you mob. Have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, that deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
Hey mob, listen up. Your little ones can come to free kindy at Child's World. That's right, you can get 15 hours of free kindy every week for 40 weeks each year. With free meals, free bus pickup and drop-off, swimming lessons, dance and PE classes, and deadly excursions, all at no cost to you. And here's the golden bit. As well as free kindy, every Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child gets 100 hours of subsidised care every fortnight. There's no activity test, whether you're working, studying, or just kicking back. And there's no extra paperwork. It's dead easy. Give your little ones the best start, in a place where they'll learn, grow, and shine. Ring Child's World today on 07-4045-4045. It's free for our moms.
Station sponsor.
See you at Child's World.
Hey,
Hey, which way you mob? We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416. Yendaba napi bamada. Yendaba kachenda bamada. Yendaba gadan. Yendaba listen.
I've been padded ever since I was a kid. Black sheep of the family, grew up house, that's how I live. Had to make some changes, so I did what I did. Out here making money, I'm waiting for Santa Link. Rent due, kids need food, give what they need. Come from nothing, so I gotta get it by any means. Remember the days when we had nothing to eat. So now I lose sleep before my kids lose a feet. Grandmama dead, swear that bitch made me worse. Only woman gave up for caught me stealing out of purse. Seeing that pain and I had me lost for words. Wish she was still here to give her back what she deserves. But gotta keep moving, keep improving the music. Make her back for the times when they said that I was useless. I blow up, still don't know where I'll be moving. That's the NSTG with the blueprint, I'm saying. Grah! Shiki wicked.
My brother cut the grass, cause nice hard on where I'm staying. Never did they think they could keep it off from the pavement. We hustle all day and all night for a payment. So when they doubt me, I'm still here like what you're saying. So gotta get it out the mouth for my kids growing up. Cause I remember when I was them, no one wanted us. And now it's all eyes on me like I'm Pac. Even now, still NS from the jump. True God, cause I really grew up in the trap. No glory, true story, I never look back. My actions speak louder, that's why my memories back my chat. I'm too black for the polish and too poly for the blacks. But I'm fitting in, I'm here working to break the cycle. You can tell who's frauds and who came from survival. Bible, this then you're liable. Idols turn rivals, take titles. A trouble young buck, got upbringing with daddy. No one wanted us till my grandparents came to get us. Now young OG, I ain't also representing. OT long hours in the studio with Em and what I'm saying. Grah! Shiki wiki!
Yeah, there it is, Wicked. That's STG. Say True God. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trevor Murray from Curry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbra Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong. All right, we got our next segment, which we're yarning, proudly sponsored by Perry's IGA, who give us a box of fruit here at Bumbra Bip Media once a week. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle message we deliver. And we yarn with the boys and girls in blue from Edmonton Police. And we have Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay and Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant. And very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
Trevor, good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm well. I'm so well. You can pump water from me, Steve. How's that? Do you like that, bro?
Yes.
Steve, who your mob were you from, bro?
Yeah, Trevor, Steve Grant, proud Jitterbull Gitterman boy from the footprints of the Kasserik Coast from Mission Beach to Cardwell in the Tully Ravensow area.
All right, beautiful. And man to your left there, we have a Tableland boy who commutes all the way down, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay from Atherton to Edmonton.
Yes.
Every day you do that drive,
up
so
and down, up
you
and
know
down.
Every curve every on the curve. Gillies Range.
Yep, yep. Train my car very
great
well.
Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, thank you. We're talking speed calibration.
Yeah.
What is speed calibration? Paint that picture, please.
Look, we're talking about our speedometers in our vehicles, basically, is what we're talking about today.
Okay.
So they're designed to be accurate to a certain degree, but what many people probably don't know is they are legally allowed to show a speed slightly higher than the actual speed limit as a safety margin. So basically, and we probably all know this, but if we're doing, let's say, a 60 kilometre hour on our speedometer on our vehicle, we're probably actually doing about 57 or so.
All right.
Decryption through the speeds will remain. So, look, it's Australian design rules. So it forbids car manufacturers from underreporting a speed by any amount, but they can be anywhere between perfectly accurate up to about 10% or plus 4 k's in the actual speed of
the
vehicle.
But if you're travelling at the 60 zone as per your speedometer.
Yeah,
you are under 60 virtually.
Yeah, and look, there's a very good reason.
And run with that.
Yeah, that's
and you won't have a drama.
That's it. That's a good thing. Like if you're sitting on the speed limit by your speedo, you're very unlikely to get a traffic ticket. And that's,
sure.
And that's, I suppose, that's the reason why that we underreport the actual speed of the vehicle.
And look, we're talking about Christmas festive season, and we're talking about. People would say revenue, but we talk about the amount of people that have died.
Yes, yes. So when we talk about even on our Queensland roads, you know, we do look at around about 300 or so people die every year on our roads, which is a tragic number, one we're not very proud of. Speed is one of the fatal five, so that's why it's important to know what speed your vehicle is actually travelling at. And and appreciate that there is these under reporting on the actual speed of the vehicle. Now look, that speed does change with any other modifications like tyre sizes. So the actual manufacturers, when they calibrate your speedometer, is with the normal tyre size with full tread.
Okay.
Of course, as your tyre wears, That underreporting is probably going to get a little bit worse. So maybe now, when you're doing 100 kilometres on your speedo, you're actually probably going back to about 95 or less as you're wearing tyres down.
As you're wearing tyres down.
So it's just something to be aware of, because then if we...
So brand new tyres would be sometimes a...
We'll be as close as we can possibly get.
Yeah, thank you, yes.
Or just under. But of course, particularly with our four-wheel drives, we like to whack on big tyres. You know, we get the big 33s, make our cruiser look really deadly.
Because you've got to be looking good. It's an image thing.
Absolutely.
Brother.
Don't worry about what power it takes out of your
engine. No, thank you. I look good.
Yeah. Hats off to all our young Hilux drivers out
there
that
are wrecked
on big tyres. But look, absolutely, once you've done that and you've increased the manufacturer's tyre size, then your speedometer is going to be right out. You're going to actually be, if you're sitting on 100, you're probably going to be doing 105, 110, and that's where we're going to start to see you picking up a few tickets where you thought was unjust.
Okay, now smiley face roadside radar. Those smiley faces, is there cameras involved? Do they catch you, pick you up, or if you're going over the limit?
Look, for all of your listeners, yes, they do. So we'll keep them that they don't speed. But the truth is, no, they don't.
But all the listeners, there's cameras there.
Yeah. Look, just pretend that they do.
Okay.
But look, they are a very effective tool for reducing speeding in our suburbs. Okay. You know, no one likes to get an angry face jumping out at them.
Yeah, so psychologically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah. And look, within your...
I'm a happy guy.
Within your
green smiley faces.
With your peers in the traffic, they also know you're speeding, of course. You know, so it does embarrass people into slow down. You know, and that's their goal, just by alerting drivers that they may be over the speed limit.
Mm.
But they unfortunately not a radar to accurately measure your vehicle speed. So if you really want to check your speedometer, and there's a very simple way to do that, and that is to get a reliable GPS app on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they are probably as close as you're going to get to your actual speed that you're doing. Again, I wouldn't be, if you're finding that now, let's say we're doing 100 kilometres an hour, you're finding with the GPS app, you can pump that up to 106 kilometres an
hour. But have the person beside you using the app.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can't be using a mobile phone while you're driving.
Yep. Thank you. And look, you're just taking that risk that if you're playing with these sorts of things, you're taking away that manufacturer's calibration that they've given you to keep you safe and keep you under that speed limit.
Fantastic. All right. And also, do police allow 10% for speeding?
One of the very famous questions police get asked a lot, and there is the myth out there that police allow 10% with the speed limit. Look, the truth of the matter is you can be fined for any amount of speeding. So any amount
stay to limit
from going from even 1 to 11 kilometres over the speed limit will allow for police to give you a fine and a demerit point allocation. So it's best to drive at or below the posted speed limit by your speedometer avoid that.
So don't argue. Your point is only two k's over.
Exactly. They're not always set at dead on the speed limit.
Sure,
but. Absolutely. If our instruments are calibrated, and if they're set at 2 k's over the limit, and you get caught at 2 k's, you're going to get a ticket.
It's all on you.
Mm.
Yeah, correct. So
people are going to mention the word again, the swearing word, revenue. Yeah. But it's not revenue if you're going at the limit.
No, the exactly. Speed limit. And look, the whole purpose of our speed detection is to make sure that our vehicles are driving at an appropriate speed limit for the circumstances. Look, police don't actually set the speed limit. That's set by our main roads department, and they take a number of things into consideration, the road conditions, corners, and how much traffic's on the road and whether it's in a residential suburb.
Well, you look at schooling as well. I mean, only what, in the last 10 years, the schooling became 40 k's, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Because there was fatality over the years.
Yeah. And if
with our young school kids.
If you have a look at some of the studies on just travelling even 10 kilometres over the speed limit, how much that increases your stopping distance.
Thank you.
That's the frightening part of this, and look, certainly had a big bearing on why our school zones have come down to those lower speed limits, because our little ones, they tend to lose their concentration.
Cargo. That's right, exactly.
Run out in front of traffic. You know,
unexpected.
Absolutely. We need to be able to stop before we run into them. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Were you going to say something, Steve, there?
Oh, no.
Thank you. Good agreement. All right, so there it is. So we are talking like the festive season, silly season, and that's what we're talking about here. But then across the board, across the floor, in regarding 365 days a year, states and speed limit people.
Absolutely. And look, in Queensland, certainly we've got our anticline funding is out now, which is a police traffic operation. Mm. So that's additional overtime specifically targeting traffic offences. Mm. So here's your listeners' warning: we're going to be out there. Yeah, you can expect to see police on the road and a lot more traffic enforcement than you probably would ordinarily see over this festive season.
Festive season, exactly. Speaking of festive season, Steve, what's happening with you? You staying in town? You time off, or you working full Monty?
Oh, I'm going to work right up until the 23rd or the 24th. Okay. I've just recently come back from Brisbane after a week down there in the
time off.
No work related.
Work related.
At headquarters.
So when are you taking time off, brother? After the festive season?
No, I'll take it before.
Before. Okay.
But my last week I was in Brisbane with at headquarters.
Yeah.
Big shout out to the girls there, Teresa, Maria, and Karen in Brisbane.
Beautiful.
And my senior sergeant. Hopefully she'll get back on the mend. Senior Sergeant Renee Bond. Okay. Get well soon.
Yep. Get well soon.
Yep. Get well. Thank you very much for the week in Brizzy. Also, Trevor, I've just got to announce we've got 17 PLOs currently training in Cairns as we speak today.
Oh, 17 PLO, new PLOs. 14, excellent.
14 TIPSOs from the Torres Strait.
That's a good good numbers there.
Yes. And these
would that be one of the highest numbers on board?
Oh, it depends, because like a lot of the outer islands, they haven't got access to vehicles and things like that. So that we've brought them down here for 2 weeks. So
okay.
So that's a large number. So we got 14 from the Torres Strait. We got one First Nations. We got one from Hong Kong background.
Hong Kong, yep.
Yep. And we've got one from Vanuatu.
Okay, there you go.
So they're all training here at our office here in Cairns.
Beautiful.
Be good to see them all there this week. And they're enjoying their training while they're here in Cairns.
Fantastic. So good to have numbers like that. Hey, Senior Sergeant Linda.
Good to see, yeah. Yep. Stephen's obviously doing his job very well.
There you go. Let's highlight that here on National Talk Black.
Thank you, Trevor.
Stephen Grant's doing his job. Gentlemen, nice talking with you both. All the best.
Thank you. We'll talk soon, eh?
Thanks, Trevor.
All right, beautiful. All right, fantastic yarn there with the boys in blue. And it's come to the time where Trinity Trev signs off. Thank you very much for your company, Mob. We've got the news coming up via NERS, National Radio Service, so don't touch that dial. Good yarn here, but yeah, let's travel safe, mate. And that's what it's all about. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll yarn soon. Too deadly.
Thinking about your body next to mine. Butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, Mob, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor, Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Hey!